Guide. Welcome into Surviving Paradise, the podcast that takes a sometimes serious, oftentimes humorous look at the claim by Jehovah's Witnesses that they're living in a modern-day spiritual paradise. I am your host, Stacy Bauman, former elder ministerial servant and a kid raised as one of Jehovah's Witnesses throughout the 70s and 80s. As I like to do, just a warning, we touch on all sorts of subjects here. We like to have fun, healing, sarcasm, humor, sometimes some tears are all part of the experience. Please note, it is never meant to offend. All right, well, welcome back in to a new year of paradise. And to everyone listening today, a happy new year. I hope everyone had a fantastic holiday season. And as we sit here on January 1st, 2024, I cannot resist the urge to wish everyone a happy year 110 of the last days. We are truly entering uncharted territory here, as there are no people left from the generation of 1914 when Jesus kicked off the last days by taking his throne and choosing Jehovah's Witnesses as his favorite people a short time later. Now, we all watch eagerly to see how many times each generation will overlap moving forward. Regardless, the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses assures us that the Great Tribulation, the destruction of all religions earthwide, as well as Armageddon itself, is going to hit us all any second now, leaving us all with a very good question. Is 2024 the year? Stay tuned. We'll have to wait and see. But my goodness, was 2023 an epic year for Jehovah's Witnesses, as we reviewed late last year. Year 110, I got to tell you, has truly got its work cut out for it after last year and year 109. But in all seriousness, I hope everyone had a fantastic holiday season and is still going to make a resolution or two, just in case 2024 comes and goes and Jehovah's mass genocide doesn't hit the planet. I had a fantastic holiday season with only one disappointment, confessing here, I already have a beard, so I wasn't as moved by Jesus' sudden endorsement of facial hair after nearly a century of saying it wasn't a good thing. Nonetheless, I have to say I have so much to be thankful for coming out of 2023, and I truly wish everyone 2024 be a great year for each and every one of us, no matter where you are in your journey in life, especially in or out of the only true religion, allegedly Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay. I fear this is going to be more of a rant this week. Without getting into too much detail, because I can't, I was once again face-to-face with the failures of Jehovah's Witness elders during the holiday season. Several people who shall remain nameless, close to me or in my orbit, are going through some real trials right now. And some of those close to them are still Jehovah's Witnesses. I know, it sounds like a really good soap opera. As is the case with Jehovah's Witnesses, most believe they can count on the elders, the congregation shepherds, during times of crisis. And for anyone who has grown up a Jehovah's Witness, you know this to be true. The elders are held in high regard. They're seen as the protectors of the organization. And if you were born in and raised as a Jehovah's Witness, they become just a daily part of your life, the guys that keep everything moving forward and keep us safe. And you begin to form opinions and thoughts and feelings surrounding the elders, most of which, depending on your lot in life, for me, I was a fatherless boy, as I mentioned, is somewhat of a comfort. You think that they're there really fulfilling this role as shepherds. And so people really grow in this organization to believe that the elders, the congregation shepherds, are someone they can count on in any crisis they may face, only to realize that they cannot. And I know that that's a bold statement. I've covered the elder arrangement many, many times on this show, and at the risk of repeating some of it, I want to revisit the elders and the shepherds this week in our journey through paradise. While it may seem like it's easy to pick on the guys that used to chase us all down for our monthly field service report, I'll bet they're relieved that's gone, that arrangement. I want to state that I'm not picking on them. This isn't just to rip into any and all brothers and men that served as elders. But it goes without saying that it deserves a second look, particularly in times of crisis. A couple of things came to my attention the past few weeks, resulting in phone calls, tears, and even some confessing to me that they're deciding to leave the Organization of Jehovah's Witnesses, with some of the reason being the misconduct, the lack of character, the incompetence, and the downright negligence of the guys we were told we could depend on as our shepherds in times of danger, sadness, or anything else we might face. Based on what I've seen the past couple of weeks involving several people, I was reminded at how devastating it can be for a Jehovah's Witness when they realize the congregation elders are, for the most part, completely powerless, and they're often looking for a place to hide themselves when things get tough. Not only are they powerless when it comes to true protection, many, if not most of them, reveal how incompetent, disobedient, and complacent they themselves are individually. And frankly, it just shouldn't be that way. Not after what we've been taught inside the Kingdom Hall in reference to elders. And again, I want to emphasize here, I'm not picking on everyone. I'm not even really picking on, well, I've got some people in mind. I'm not really picking on anyone in particular. But the fact remains, whether you're painting with a broad brush or not, this arrangement is a failure. When I'm contacted or actually drawn into a situation because it involves people, including practicing Jehovah's Witnesses that I love dearly, I'm reminded of what a complete letdown the elders' arrangement truly is for the common Jehovah's Witness. And even now, so many years after leaving, and a full 16 years since this podcast host was an elder, it jolts me to see how much it hurts people when Jehovah's Witness elders neglect their responsibility in setting the example, in protecting people, and in being a true shepherd. You might ask, if you're new to this concept, why do Jehovah's Witnesses put so much faith in elders? The answer is simple. Because they're told to. They're commanded to. They're strongly encouraged to. It's a very critical part of Jehovah's Witness culture. Jehovah's Witnesses are taught that they can count and rely on elders for protection, guidance, encouragement, any number of things. And the governing body has gone out of its way for over a century to encourage a culture of reliance on congregation elders. The arrangement you see in the organization today was established in 1972, but they had versions of it prior, men with positions of responsibility in former congregations, all of it creating what is a belief system in the publishers that the elders were those brave shepherds assigned to protect us and care for us emotionally, even physically. You likely remember the many verses and watchtower studies covering this subject. And make no mistake, the Bible does portray qualified men as shepherds. It likens them to shepherds, using very distinct and flowery language to describe just how much they care for each of us as individuals. As an example, Acts 20:28 of the New World Translation tells us, and is also the theme of the shepherding book, quote, "Pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers to shepherd the congregation of God, which he purchased with the blood of his own Son," end quote. highly valuable stuff here. Jesus' blood is involved. Big words. Holy Spirit's involved. It mentions you are to take care of all the flock, not just your favorite people in the congregation. Jesus gave his blood for that rebellious teenager too. The lonely sister over there who's dating an unbeliever. Those that come to you that are victims of abuse. Those with soul-crushing mental illness and depression. The list is long. It all comes under that scripture. But the command was all the flock were to come under your care. And I think that's important and worth noting. One of my favorites is Isaiah 32, 1 and 2, New World Translation. And I've used this many times in the past when I was a public speaker where it said, quote, "Look, a king will reign for righteousness and princes will rule for justice." See a past episode, elders or princes. "And each one will be like a hiding place from the wind, a place of concealment from the rainstorm, like streams of water in a waterless land, like the shadow of a massive crag in a parched land," end quote. Powerful indeed. A place to hide from the wind, a place to hide from the rain, a place to hide from life's devastating sets of consequences and crises. That's what elders are supposed to do as princes. And on this verse, the Watchtower of September 15th, 1989, under the article, "Elders, Guard Your Trust," page 10, has this to say, quote, "This means that elders should be sources of security, peace, and stability to the flock of God's sheep-like servants. More than usual is required of elders or under-shepherds of the flock because they have been put in charge of much, and they surely have a precious trust that must be guarded," end quote. So when you wonder, or the many who do wonder, why Jehovah's Witnesses put such an emphasis on the elders in their congregation, why they go to them or feel they can depend on them in any situation life throws at them, you can point to these types of scriptures and references. But is any of this evident in the congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses today? Are they truly like this? Do they jump out in front of that car for you? Do they protect you from life's storms? Do they always do the right thing? Are they principled, men of character, of honor, who will not break God's laws or principles in order to protect you? Do they always do the right thing? And the real answer to that question is simple. Everyone's shaking their head, I'm sure. The sad reality is no. No, they do not. Again, I'm not talking about the minority. We'll get into that. I'm talking about the arrangement and the majority of elders, many of whom I served with for many years and grew up around. There are many wonderful guys that try their hardest to be outstanding shepherds. You can often identify them quickly in any congregation. They typically looked burnt out. They're often, again, rapidly exhausted, and they tend to neglect even their own families as they desperately try to keep everybody else safe or try to help everyone. The truth is this, when it comes to elders and Jehovah's Witnesses, it's a power structure put in place to run congregations almost like a small business, all the while trying to attach love and spirituality to the entire process. Very few people in this world are attracted to a secular environment when it comes to worshiping Jehovah or the lifestyle a witness is required to live. Most people are attracted to Jehovah's Witnesses for all the reasons you might expect. Love, community, friendship, tenderness, hope for the future, support during hard times when life gets really hard and tough decisions have to be made. And I'll tell you, for those of us that have been fatherless or a single parent family, whether the parent or the child, that lacks a strong male figure in the family, the elders in Jehovah's Witnesses tend to fill that void, or at least they should, according to what I just read you and shared with you from the Bible and their own literature. You grow up seeing these men as protectors, filled with wisdom. And while that may be a natural reaction to an authority figure when life lacks one, it's also a direct result of what a Jehovah's Witness has been hearing for years in the Kingdom Hall. It's a result of what they've been taught by the governing body. And it's undeniable. Currently on their website, one of their books, Who Are Doing Jehovah's Will Today, Lesson 15, gives us this under the subheading, They Care for Us and Watch Over Us. Quote, The elders guide and help to protect the congregation spiritually, aware that God has entrusted them with this important role. The elders do not dominate his people, okay, but rather they contribute to our well-being and joy. How do you feel with that one? Back to the quote, just as a shepherd diligently cares for each one of his sheep, the elders try to get to know every member of the congregation individually, end quote. I'm calling BS right here. They want us to believe, and they're stating very emphatically, that elders are not to dominate, they are to contribute to our well-being and joy, and furthermore, they're so engaged as shepherds, according to the governing body, that they're required to know each member of the congregation individually. Is that something you experienced in your time as a Jehovah's Witness? Whether you were an elder, publisher, or anything else, did you know everyone individually? The Watchtower Study Edition, Simplified Version, June 2013, under the article, Elders, Will You Refresh the Tired Soul? Oh my. This article gives elders pointers on how to encourage their brothers, and I'm going to get into it here in a minute. It's everything you might expect. Say prayers with them. Mention their good qualities to them. And in the opening prayer, speak of them to Jehovah in the prayer and read scriptures with them. I've said it before. I just want to say it again for those that are uncomfortable. There are those elders that take all of this seriously and prepare for everything, whether it's a talk hoping to reach hearts, whether it's a shepherding call, whether it's a phone call, whether it's just an important conversation. There are those guys that do that. They tend to be overworked. I think you know what I speak of. But the fact remains, as we dig into this article, many do not. They're shepherds, as we're told, to protect us, to know us individually, to add to our joy, and they just don't do it. In fact, they oftentimes do the opposite, creating incredible pain, misery, and stress. But it also, in this article, has a couple of highly ironic comments that I feel like I need to highlight in this conversation. Here's the first one. Quote, again, this is the June 2013 Watchtower Study Edition, Elders, Will You Refresh the Tired Soul? Quote, you might also encourage your brother by discussing a Bible character who was in a similar situation. End quote. That's right, if you've been a Jehovah's Witness for any amount of time, people that lived many centuries ago didn't wear underwear, had sandals, and were mostly associating with livestock have a lot in common with you and I here in 2024. Did you know? I've rarely seen this type of encouragement work from an elder or anyone else. I gotta tell you, for some reason, a teenager in 2024 dealing with bullying or their raging hormones, has a real tough time relating to anything you tell him about King David. Sure, he beat Goliath by launching a rock at him with a slingshot. Can a Jehovah's Witness do that? Are they even encouraged to fight a bully today? And well, let's get into the more touchy subject on the matter of sex and hormones. Even a teenager, my own 10-year-old son at one point, can see through King David as an example. The Bible mentions he had 8 wives, as well as an unknown number of unnamed wives. They must feel special. 18 known children are mentioned in the scriptures. Countless concubines for when his wives had an off night and he was feeling a little frisky. And well, Then there was the matter of stealing Bathsheba from her husband and, you know, having him killed so he could keep her. Call me crazy, but leaning into some of the very questionable Bible characters to comfort a Jehovah's Witness in 2024 rarely works. And they still try to do it in dramas. They seem to be getting a little more modern, but they still try to relate Jeremiah to you and me. Unless you're trying to elicit a laugh, it just doesn't work. That teenager that wants to go on a date just can't relate, leaving most elders sitting there slack-jawed and reverting to, well, you just can't because the faithful slave says you can't. End of shepherding call. But the article continues. And again, this is all me taking a look at this arrangement, what they say versus the reality that all of us have experienced, no matter our role in the congregation, in or out. It goes on to say, quote, after the visit, continue to show interest in your brother. I want to back up here a minute. It says, quote, after the visit, continue to show interest in your brother. For example, at the end of the visit, you could make plans with him to preach together. That's always encouraging. More than ever, our brothers and sisters need to feel that you care for them, understand them, and love them. End quote. Is that what you experienced, and I'm talking majority here, from the elders in your congregation? And did you notice the comment after the visit? There's a visit where there's encouragement hopefully given, but you're supposed to follow up. And boy, does that rub me the wrong way. We finally land on the number one thing I hear today from people, witnesses in or out, and heard during my time as an elder. They disappear a lot. I had someone tell me just last week that an elder paid them a visit where the person shared some of the things that were really, really making their life hard, causing them stress. They were emotional, crying, hurting. The elder at the end of the visit, very brief one, promised to return and follow up with some encouragement and information to check in. And then this person's story ended with, I'm still waiting for that brother to return. That was 15 years ago. That's right. True story. Just last week. And I think we can all relate to that. Elders who are supposed to be nurturing, their prime vocation in life is to protect, understand us, love us. It's important, as the reference just said in 2013, that we know they care about us and understand us. The very guys that are supposed to be a place of protection, of confidence, blow people off all the time, folks. They blow them off. It's so common that you will rarely ever hear that they returned, as promised, with life-saving counsel, or even just to check in on you and your well-being. Most mail in that shepherding call or meeting, cross it off their list of things to do, and forget all about you and move on. And I know for a fact that this goes on. And I'll give you an example. This is especially evident when you've committed a serious sin. You've been disciplined and you're in the process of healing as a Jehovah's Witness. For anyone that has been disfellowshipped or reproved, you know that Jehovah's Witnesses are told that it's loving discipline designed to put us back on the right path, the path to life. The elders end a judicial meeting explaining how they're here for you and will be watching over you every step of the way. They'll follow up with you, they'll shepherd you, and they'll visit with you again very soon. Remember now, in this case, this scenario, you are a vulnerable, beat-up sheep. You're wounded. You've committed sins or been the victim of a sin. Satan is also after you, and these shepherds have volunteered to protect you and nurture you back to spiritual, even physical health. But let me ask you a question if you've been in this scenario or witnessed it. Is that what happened? Is that what you saw the congregation elders do in your local congregation with you or someone else? After you were reinstated or taken off private reproof, how did the elders help you after that? They didn't, you say? They never spoke to you again? They almost kind of mildly shunned you and just said hello at the meetings? Yeah, it happens all the time. After you were reinstated or taken off private reproof, how did the elders help you after that? Exactly. And full disclosure here, full disclosure, chucking myself under the bus. I, too, was an elder. I, too, was very overworked in a very unhealthy way, and I personally failed at this. I bombed in many cases. So I'm not picking on anyone here, those brothers who volunteer to be elders, former elders that may be out listening, any of that. I'm not picking on it. We've probably all been guilty of it. I was full-blown guilty of it. I had so many people coming to me that my follow-up was often just spotting them, giving them a hug at the Kingdom Hall and asking how they're doing. That was it. I had more people to help that had immediate needs. And I know for a certainty that many Jehovah's Witness elders are in the same position. So while I'm not picking on individuals or the minority, what I am picking on is an arrangement that fails people. And it fails them in many, many, many ways. I witnessed it the last couple weeks. And it doesn't eliminate the fact that after years of being taught that elders are loving, protective shepherds of God's sheep, you just learn quickly that it isn't true. Some do their best to meet the challenge. Many do not. Many don't even care. And even well-intentioned elders simply can't spread themselves that thin. You might ask, is this even possible for an elder to do the way the governing body and the faithful slave paints it to a congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses? The answer is no, not really. It really isn't something that you can do. Not in the way that they paint it. And you might say, why? Well, folks, when it comes to elders, and I know this is Captain Obvious here, but they have their own imperfections and personalities. They're oftentimes dealing with their own failures. They have families, they have jobs, they have worries. They don't get paid to do any of this. This is all supposed to come from the heart. They love and understand us and add to our joy, remember? Many were given this job as congregation elders because they were able to circle a block in their neighborhood in a minivan for 10 hours a month back in the day. And so they got appointed. They were setting the tone in field service. That made them a good shepherd. Not going to go too deep into that. And as I've stated on this show many times, there's so many different personalities, good, bad, and different in all of us. But congregation elders among Jehovah's Witnesses, the vast majority I witness don't study. Shockingly, I even know of some and served with some that had never even read the Bible. You can see the lack of education by watching the now historical Australian Royal Commission, where several elders took the stand only to embarrass themselves. They were unable to answer basic questions about the organization or the Bible or even principles. Things like loving your neighbor but turning pedophiles loose in Australia. They looked befuddled and lost. And these were the guys that we were told and grew up around that were going to protect us, not only from this wicked world, but from Satan and his demons themselves. And none of these men are qualified to deal with the complexities facing so many people today. The world is complex. We have abuse victims, childhood trauma, confusion on sexuality, marital nightmares, mental illness, and the devastation of that, and so many more things that I could list. None of these men are trained in that field or in any of those fields. And then there is the reality that many Jehovah's Witness elders today are elderly and completely out of touch with reality in today's generation, the non-overlapping one. And it's evident in how they handle a teenager today. It's unbelievable to watch. Very few, if any, elders grew up in a time where bullies were as prevalent as they are today, where homosexuality or transgender lifestyles were accepted. These elders today, they have no idea what a Snapchat or a TikTok is. They just look at you like, what? But before you dismiss all of that as changing times, it's important to note that no matter when or where you grew up, the elders have almost always been this way. It doesn't matter the generation. They're out of touch, oftentimes ill-prepared, and thrust into a role just because they could drive around and knock on doors. And it's not like the guys in New York don't know this. They do know this. From the Kingdom Ministry of December, 1978, pages 3 through 4, just focusing in for a bit on young people, youths, how do you view the elders? We are told this, quote, "How do you view the elders in your congregation? Do you view them as experienced Christians whom you can freely approach with any question or problem? Do you view them as men who can assist you in a practical and reasonable manner? If not, why not? Some youths have implied that they feel older ones, including elders, do not understand them. But have you really sincerely tried to communicate with them? Remember, older ones were at one time teenagers, you don't say. They may appear to be narrow in their viewpoint at times, but could this be due to their having already learned the hard way that the course they are counseling against can bring harm? Listening intently to wise counsel from elders is a course of wisdom," end quote. So there, from just that reference, while simultaneously admitting there may be a communication gap between a shepherd and his younger sheep, they remind you that they were teenagers at one time, okay? Never mind that they were teenagers when phones were connected to walls, when television went dead every night at midnight and turned into a rainbow screen, or we were cool kids back in the day and we carried combs in our back pockets. Yeah, we did that in the 70s and 80s. It was epic. Or they virtually ignore you in the congregation. Until you do something wrong. Then they're very interested in meeting with you and hanging out. But I think it's also worth noting that the same guys pushing a teenager or anybody in the congregation, but focusing on young people, to get into a baptism pool or die at Armageddon is supposed to be the same guy that is very interested in your soul-crushing pain of having no friends, of loving someone that you can't date, of being a girl who's attracted to other beautiful girls, of having a private habit you feel ashamed of but really don't need to, of being bullied. They're supposed to relate to all of that too. Remember, love and understand us. Add joy and happiness to our life. That same shepherd's counsel always comes back around to, well, kid, get into a pool at the circuit assembly or be dead soon. That's the message. They make it more flowery. They even do Pixar-like videos for kids now. But that's the message. Young people see so many things. It's odd, but kids have a lot of trouble connecting with an elder like the one I just described. They just don't relate to them. And the governing body knows this. And the congregations are populated with these guys. They're everywhere. And as for elders being approachable, keep in mind those guys in your local congregation should be balanced enough to listen to anything. We heard it from their own literature. To help you heal from anything. To support and protect you from anything. The Watchtower of 94, October 1st, page 19, under the article, Shepherding God's Flock with Love, we get this, quote, "Regardless of the type of problem the sheep may bring to them, elders should remember Proverbs 21:13. As for anyone stopping up his ear from the complaining cry of the lowly one, he himself also will call and not be answered." End quote. Serious stuff from Jehovah. One of the members of the sheep come to you. They're depressed, and they're depressed all the time. They're suffering from tremendous soul-crushing emotions. They need to talk to you for the 50th time. Do you see that kind of welcoming spirit in an elder now? And yet the Bible tells us that most elders, if they do not listen, excuse me, any elder that does not listen will himself not be answered by Jehovah. Heavy stuff. And I'll just keep this brief, but I've seen grown men turn into an uncomfortable mess based on someone pouring out their innermost thoughts and pain. And almost anything you bring to them is wrapped up with the one and only answer that the congregation elders of Jehovah's Witnesses are trained to give. You've heard the answer. It didn't matter what you brought to them. It didn't matter how complex, how deep, how painful, how long ago, how recent. I was hearing recent experiences just days ago, which prompted this episode. The answer is always the same. It comes down to this. Maybe you've heard this counsel. Quote, I'm an elder. You just brought some soul-crushing, terrible thing to my attention. You're looking for someone to love you and understand you. I've got some great counsel for you. Are you ready? Here comes the wisdom. Read the Bible more and go out and service. There's the counsel. That's how elders are trained today. Aside from the responsibility to shape their own character in any disastrous consequence and to be principled men, the training from the organization comes down to, read the Bible more. Get into that Watchtower Library online, jw.org. It has all the answers. Here's another. From the Watchtower of 89, September 15th, pages 15 through 20, the series Elders Treat God's Flock with Tenderness. We get this, a reminder from Thessalonians 2:7, which says, we became gentle in the midst of you, as when a nursing mother cherishes her own children. All Christians should imitate God and go on walking in love just as Christ loved them. So they should be loving and compassionate. Especially should this be true of under shepherds of God's flock. So the lip service and the words are there. But I'm guessing there might be more than just myself listening in on this crazy show and thinking, I just didn't have that experience. And I saw it with someone close to me in the last 2 weeks, an elder involved in a situation that was so unprincipled and so off the rails, it was unbelievable. He has no business being a shepherd. None. Zero. He doesn't apply basic Bible principles. But we see there as a reminder from the Bible and then in their own comments that they're supposed to be gentle, approachable. With so much emphasis put on the authority and availability of elders, and no matter the situation, doesn't matter, or the person, it's truly the lack of love and compassion that we are told elders should have that cause many, many people to consider leaving Jehovah's Witnesses. I've seen it so many times in my life, and I saw it firsthand the last couple of weeks, as I mentioned. So while many navigate the disappointment, or worse, of how the elders haven't nurtured them, even checked on them, looked at them, spoke to them, validated their pain, or anything else that identifies a protective shepherd, they wonder, what the hell are the elders doing? And I gotta tell you, it's a valid question. I will boldly proclaim that almost any Jehovah's Witness you approach and ask, what do the elders do? Will reply with something along these lines. Well, you know, they keep the congregation clean. They discipline to people. They get rid of bad people. All the while admitting you may meet a few who say, they shepherd us, but it's the minority. And isn't that odd? Disciplining and launching people isn't supposed to be their main purpose. I've been reading references as to their main purpose, including references from the Holy Book. From the Watchtower of 92, July 1st, pages 14 through 19, the series Elders Judge with Righteousness, we are told this, quote, elders do not judge full-time. They are full-time shepherds. They are healers, not punishers. The basic idea behind the Greek word for overseer, episkopos, is that of protective care. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament states, supplementing shepherd at 1 Peter 2:25, the term episkopos suggests the pastoral work of watching over or guarding. Yes, their primary responsibility is watching over the sheep and guarding them, keeping them inside the flock. Therefore, elders should regularly schedule time for the shepherding work. This may bring the happy result of less time spent in time-consuming judicial cases involving Christians who have been overtaken by sin. Certainly, the elders' first concern should be to provide a source of relief and refreshment, thus promoting peace, tranquility, and security among Jehovah's people. End quote. Where do I begin? Shepherds? Healers? Relief? Refreshment? Really? I ask you honestly, is that how you would describe the majority of Jehovah's Witness elders in 2024? Doubtful. Doubtful. If you're fortunate enough to be in a congregation where this exists, you have hit the jackpot. In my time, brothers that acted like that reference I just read were the minority. With most congregations I came into touch with all over the country, actually internationally, having usually maybe one guy on the body that fit that description. And that guy was almost always completely overwhelmed and burnt out. And I'll tell you, a throwaway quote in a Watchtower article is one thing, but reality is quite another. The governing body has spent much more time turning congregation elders into policemen, judges, and administrators. Anyone that denies that is just ridiculous. To say that these men in your congregation bring tranquility, that they listen to any problem you may have, and their end goal is to protect you, care for you, nurture you, love you, and heal you, you are delusional. I'm not saying there aren't men like that, but they are the minority. I'm going to continue to repeat that for those that get upset by this. The proof is everywhere, and I'm going to give you proof. The governing body is more interested in elders running their little business, policemen, judges, administrators. Here's my example. Imagine creating a manual and calling it Shepherd the Flock of God, but filling it with anything and everything but shepherding, healing, and protection. Would you like a sneak peek into the Secret Elder's Manual book if you don't already have one? Here is a sampling of what an elder learns when he gets his secret book from the governing body. See if you notice anything. And I'm going to try to keep it brief in the interest of time. See if you notice anything. Remember, shepherd the flock of God. Here's the book so that you're successfully protecting, nurturing, loving through every nuance, crisis, and painful event of one of your sheep. Here we go. Chapters 1 through 10 of this book features full chapters on all the different titles on the elder body. For example, secretary, watchtower study conductor, field service coordinator, and more. It even includes information there on how to delete an elder, how to fire him. Once you finally get to chapter 11 of this book, you are treated to medical matters. Chapter 12, the title is Determining Whether a Judicial Committee Should Be Formed, followed by chapter 13 on pornography, chapter 14 on child abuse, 15 and 16 give us all the judicial meeting details. 17 through 19 give us appeals, disassociations, and reinstatements. 20 through 24 covers the meetings, buildings, the kingdom halls themselves, record keeping, and field ministry. And then, after all of that, the shepherd, whose prime responsibility is to protect, love, nurture, and bring tranquility to the congregation, gets to chapter 25. Chapter 25, which is titled Shepherding. But remember, shepherding is his chief responsibility, according to the governing body. After a few pointers, the book Jesus wrote apparently skips to chapter 26, Disaster Preparedness. It's stunning. And I feel like the Shepherd the Flock of God book is a stunning denunciation of what a failure the elder arrangement is for Jehovah's Witnesses. The chief responsibility is shepherding, and it lands on chapter 25, has a few paragraphs, and moves on. Chapter 1 of this book, given to men who have lives of Jehovah's sheep in their hands, starts with a subheading that says, Responsibilities. Then it reels off 21 responsibilities. Things such as reviewing the congregation's donation to New York, selecting speakers, who can read at the Watchtower study, deciding who gives warning talks, and many, many more I'm not going to list. But do you want to know what isn't listed there under responsibilities in Chapter 1? Shepherding. Chapter 1. Responsibilities. Not listed. And the end result of all of this is the reality that most men that serve in that position came into the position with whatever character they possessed when they were appointed. They may have refined a few things over time, but mostly carry their personal opinions and imperfections into the most important leadership role they will ever have. They not only have no formal training for some of life's most devastating challenges, but they don't get much from the organization either, as I just shared with you in the one and only book they make for elders. It's not even listed as a responsibility in Chapter 1. And for those that may be sitting out there saying, well, they have KM school and they have elders meetings, I'll just say, yes, they sure do. And for any of us that have lived through them, me 11 years worth, all of them include strict Watchtower agendas and programs, letters from the governing body and circuit overseers telling you what to do. None of it features anything outside their literature, and none of it gives these men that have lives in their hands any secular training to deal with them. It's all based on the Watchtower's interpretation of the Bible. Therefore, the vast majority of congregation elders follow the direction of the governing body. And like the Pharisees before them, see a past episode, one of my favorites, they lean into man-made policies, see Beards, and treat their flock much the same way a major corporation or HR department treats its employees. It's undeniable. You can roll out Watchtower after Watchtower, quote the Bible itself, all with great principles, I might add, in that book, but don't act like it's reality, because it's not. Not in the congregations of Jehovah's Witnesses when it comes to elders. I saw it last week with one whose behavior was stunning, and I saw it in person. In the absence of true character or knowledge, Jehovah's Witness elders learn to mimic the guys on top, the governing body. Themselves, mostly void of any natural shepherding capabilities. How drawn are you to Stephen Lett? Want to move in closer for a hug and a deep conversation? Or even the desire to make it a priority. How many times have you gone to an elder and had the counsel was either prefaced or punctuated with, well, the society says, or the governing body's direction, or refer to the Watchtower Library? And I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole that is protecting the sheep, something their cruel negligence of children has been exposed as a massive, disgusting lie. And why I bring all of this up is because it creates a great deal of confusion and disappointment when a common Jehovah's Witness is looking for deep, intimate care that we are told they can only receive from the elders. There was even a time in this organization it was condemned to go to a psychiatrist or a mental health expert. You were thought as an absolute whack job. You should be marked if you did that. Those illustrations and publications of the shepherd cradling baby sheep or fighting a predator that is near one of his sheep, Jehovah's Witnesses hold on to that stuff because most of them were attracted to the religion to begin with due to all those images of paradise, all those images of tenderness, of community, of friendship, of protection. And I got to tell you, and the reason I'm even talking about this right now, that most of them are met with crushing disappointment as I mentioned, people are leaving due to the failure of the elder arrangement these days. It has broken my heart more times than I can relate to talk to someone who is in a bad place in life, only to find out it was made worse by the lack of care, follow-up, or interest in their situation from the elders. It's a bitter, bitter reality for many to feel ignored or just be left behind. There's nothing lonelier than sitting in a kingdom hall and no one cares. And they really struggle, as I was told even last week, to understand why Jesus is allowing any of this with his shepherds. Considering Jesus said the following, in Matthew 18, 12 through 14, in the New World Translation, we get this. What do you think? This is from Jesus. Jesus is stating this. He says, quote, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them strays, will he not leave the 99 on the mountains and set out on a search for the one that is straying? And if he finds it, I certainly tell you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that have not strayed. Likewise, it is not a desirable thing to my Father who is in heaven for even one of these little ones to perish. End quote from Jesus Christ. And such a simple, powerful, and vivid illustration from the King of Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's virtually ignored. It's ignored, folks, by the organization and by local bodies of elders. It's so ignored. I can't even tell you the people. Some of these people, children of elders, that are crushed by the lack of care, by anyone coming after them to find them when they've strayed. I used to cringe when this verse was studied in the Watchtower or at the Watchtower study. People among Jehovah's Witnesses fall through the cracks all the time in local congregations. And how does that happen if the elders are truly shepherds who know the appearance of their flock? Were they distracted with cleaning the kingdom hall, giving that toilet an extra scrub after the meeting? Were they too busy monitoring someone's clothes? Were they just overwhelmed in their own lives? That's fair. It's fair. They're people. According to their king, none of that simply can happen. Jehovah is watching. And folks, it happens all the time. In fact, I would say outside of being disciplined or disfellowshipped, it's the number one reason people drift away and leave. You would think each meeting was an opportunity to monitor the mental health of those in attendance. You would think protecting children from predators would be of utmost importance. You would think the elders in your congregation would know everyone's name. You would think they would know who isn't there. There's a sheep missing. We have to go find it. They're commanded to leave the flock and chase down the one who has strayed. But folks, it doesn't happen. Unless they've learned you did something wrong. Then they chase you at breakneck speed and claim you now must attend a judicial meeting. I'll give you an example of this that happened to me. I was visiting on vacation, California, where I grew up. A dear, dear friend who was always, fairly an active witness, but had grown up with us in our congregation, very close, consider them family. I was at their house visiting them some years later. I was an elder, a young elder, a man I had looked up to as a kid in that congregation when we lived in California, stopped by the house, knocked on the door. This sister answered the door, and this elder, I witnessed all this. I was watching all of it. He didn't even know I was there. He hadn't seen me in years. I was in just out of eyeshot. He looked at her and said, oh, hi. I haven't seen you in years. Do you live here? Where you been? He was out in field service and stumbled upon her door. He had not seen her in years. It was one of the most embarrassing things I'd ever seen, and I was a young elder. I'll never forget it. It happened in 1996. My jaw hit the ground. He had no idea where she'd been, and he hadn't gone after her. Apparently, she hadn't done something. Because when you do something, they've got you in the B school quick. they're blowing up your phone. Shepherding's one thing, but the elders of Jehovah's Witnesses have long been policemen, judges, and administrators. Most that I hung out with weren't particularly wise. They certainly weren't protective shepherds, whose main purpose in life was to protect those Jehovah had drawn to him. And I got to tell you, it's a very real problem. I got an axe to grind on it, clearly. And in my opinion, it's getting worse. With the recent announcement that they need elders and will appoint them in their early 20s now, my God, you will have young men with no life experience or education outside the organization they grew up in, watching over millions of people dealing with complex challenges in a complex world. And for me, it's sort of like asking a five-year-old to drive a bus full of people on the freeway. This should go well, right? 20-year-old elders. And one more time for emphasis. The Watchtower Study Edition, November 2013, page 10, gives us this. In a spiritual sense, overseers have the responsibility of protecting, nursing, and caring for the health of members of the congregation, especially those who have hurt themselves or who have fallen sick spiritually. The same article in 2013, Watchtower article, paragraph 15, in the second article, goes on to say this: a good shepherd is quick to take helpful action when a sheep is injured or becomes sick. Similarly, the elders need to give prompt attention to any in the congregation who are suffering or require spiritual assistance. End quote. I'm beating a dead horse. I get it. I mentioned it earlier. But recently spoke to someone close to me who has been waiting for an elder to return with answers to her very important questions for 15 years. I informed her he won't be returning. I think she knew. I just related a story of an elder who popped by one of the members of the congregation who'd grown weak, didn't even know where she lived, literally had lived there for 30 to 40 years, didn't know where she lived. My own son at one point experienced an elder he grew up with and a close friend of mine on the same body pulling into his place of work, seeing him, then ignoring him. Despite the fact my son was never baptized, he saw him and decided shunning was a good idea. But shepherding, nurturing, healing, and stuff, right? It's not difficult to see why so many are disappointed in the elder arrangement that we are told Jesus oversees, but in reality is nothing more than a secular construct set up by 9 guys in upstate New York. Protecting, nursing, caring? Again, there are those men that take that seriously, but they're the minority. Most elders default to organizational policies, man-made rules, or some of them even feign ignorance, with their fallback comment to anything they don't want to handle being, well, wait on Jehovah. Or one I heard recently, as last week, well, Jehovah will read my heart. Even as they say that, they don't seem to realize they're rendering themselves as an elder unnecessary. If Jehovah's reading hearts, what are you around for? What do you do? By making that comment, they're just proving they're nothing more than a negligent shepherd taking up space. Now, we've read what the Bible said. We've even read quotes from their publications. But the frank truth is this: elders are mostly policemen, judges, and administrators, and it's a devastating blow to many when they reach out in anguish, only to find out these guys aren't going to do a damn thing for them. They may even break Bible principles. I saw it last week. Sure, they'll remind you that Jehovah loves you and tell you to keep coming to meetings. That's their counsel. It doesn't matter what has been done to you, what you're suffering, or who even did what to you. And despite that jolt of reality and disappointment, Jehovah's Witnesses are required to put elders and anything they say or do on a pedestal. Did you know this? At 1 Timothy 5:17 of the New World Translation, we are told, quote, let the elders who preside in a fine way be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard in speaking and teaching, end quote. I'm not going to here go deep on how the entire elder arrangement of Jehovah's Witnesses isn't even in line with the spirit of what we see in the Bible. But despite that fact, Jehovah's Witnesses still hold the title of elder or shepherd in very high regard. Jehovah's Witness women, sisters, are told to seek out someone who's elder material for marriage as a husband. Young people grow up thinking they're all wise Yodas that dispense knowledge with every word or action. And not only are you to obey anything they tell you to do or risk discipline, they use scriptures such as that in 1 Timothy 5 to tell you that they also deserve double honor and respect for what they're doing for you. Have they earned it? It really doesn't matter. You're just showing you're on board by just giving them double honor, by being almost borderline afraid of them, walking around in awe of respect of them and their title. You're supposed to look for their good qualities, even as they discipline you for what they consider your bad ones. Needless to say, the entire spirit of what a shepherd is in the Bible has been lost inside Jehovah's Witnesses. In so many ways, they're inferior to similar Christian religions. There are no programs or meetings for those dealing with mental health problems like you'll find in other Christian churches. There are no programs for kids with people that have studied with children in mind and how to teach them. There's nothing for marriage counseling or career pathing. There's just a collection of guys in your local congregation who were either a good speaker or had been seen a lot out knocking on doors for a set number of hours every month. And I have to go back to the Australian Royal Commission. It's getting years in the past now, as they call local elders to the stand. If you have not seen this, it's incredible. I couldn't stop laughing. If you haven't watched the full event, the inability to shepherd turtles is on full display as the counselor eviscerates several of these elders for not understanding basic concepts or principles from the Bible. Things like what love of your neighbor means. Basic things they didn't understand. They took the position and the title and they listened to the governing body. And when faced with crisis, like the Australian Royal Commission, they were on full display as uneducated, uncaring, and tacitly obedient to nine guys in New York, not the Bible or its principles. I've said it many times in the past, and if you've lasted this long in this long ranting episode, thank you. But if you're a Jehovah's Witness listening, never, never go to the elders. I've got a past episode on it. Please go listen to it if you're considering going. And whatever you do, do not trust or depend on them being just or doing the right thing just because they have the title. They only color inside the lines of the governing body. For the kind-hearted elder that deeply does care about people, I do give you the double honor. You're a kind soul, but you'd be a kind soul in any walk of life. And please, please, please take care of yourself if you're one of those men. You're rare, and being approachable will lead you to being overwhelmed while your fellow elders watch on, just having a sense of relief that they aren't having to do anything but prepare a service meeting part. They don't want to do that stuff. It wasn't even in chapter one of their book. Like so many arrangements inside Jehovah's Witnesses, this one is dated, and in my opinion and observation, it's disintegrating rapidly. Men don't want to be elders anymore, and they're struggling to shepherd their own families in a complex world. Look at the position titles alone on the elder body. Service overseer, secretary, congregation organizer, they've changed a little bit. But do you know what's missing? I've always wondered, even in my time as an elder, why isn't there a shepherding overseer? Why isn't there a shepherding overseer? It's the number one thing that they're supposed to do. And I can tell you why that is. Most elders dread that idea. Dread it. In the end, A Jehovah's Witness elder has the exact same book you and I have. They just read the same book we have. They just have a title given to them by nine guys. As we navigate challenges in life, hold dear those people, those family or friends that lend an ear, a shoulder to cry on. Those people are treasures. They're far more valuable than any man with a fancy title in a congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses, who in most cases is even uncomfortable with the idea of being a shepherd to begin with. But the failure of the elder arrangement in the congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses, the abject failure, is best seen in Jesus' illustration of a shepherd and his intimate relationship with his sheep. At John 10, 3 through 6 of the New World Translation, Jesus relates this, quote, "The doorkeeper opens to this one, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Then the comment, "Jesus spoke this comparison to them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." End quote. Dear Jesus, they still don't. Thanks for joining me this week, folks. Happy, happy New Year. Here we go, year 110. Wherever you may be safe and be well.